Fast Cars, Fast Girls with Abby and Molly.
Well, with us today, we have Megan Meyer, and Megan is a driver in the, or racer, I should say, in the Top Alcohol Dragster, and that's in the Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series. And in fact, if I did my research correctly, Megan, you were third in your class this past season?
Yes, and awesome. We actually race in two different, I guess, sections of the Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series. So there's a national level and then a regional level.
Oh, wow.
So for the regional level, it just splits the United States up into four regions. It also includes a little bit of Canada. So there's East, North Central, which is where you're from, Midwest, which is also Central, and then West Coast.
Okay.
So with me being from Kansas City, we obviously race in the Midwest region. So for the regional series, I got first in points, which this is the second year that I placed first.
Awesome.
And then for the national series, I placed third.
That's amazing. All right. Well, you definitely know your stuff. Now, I'm going to ask this kind of knowing you got into this because your father was a dragster racer. Is that correct?
Yes, my father and then also my uncle, which is his oldest brother, and he had three kids who all raced. So I had three cousins. They were all a little bit older than me, so I got to watch them step into the junior dragsters first before me and my little sister got the chance to.
That's great. So did you kind of grow up on a racetrack, things like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Every summer we would just go with our parents in the semi, and whatever race my dad was going to, we'd tag along. And there's a lot of times where they would just, you know, during the school year, leave us at home to stay at our grandparents' house or stay at a friend's house for the weekend so they could go and race.
That's awesome. Now, did you, hi, it's Abby, by the way.
hi, Abby.
Okay. Now, during the summer, was that something that was, like, fun for you guys, and you guys brought friends to the track, too, or?
We definitely made a lot of friends. There was kids that were, you know, there because their parents or someone in their family was racing or working on a car. So there's a lot of kids around our age groups growing up that we would hang out with and have our little cliques at the racetracks. But then as we got older, it kind of faded out and not all of them stayed racing either. They just didn't want to be a part of it anymore or their parents quit being in the sport or something like that. So as we got older, it changed a lot, but we always still have our group that we race junior dragsters with in Kansas City, and a lot of them are still in the sport to this day, whether it's racing in the sportsman classes or even working on a Top Fuel car.
Oh, very cool.
And, you know, some people, when their parents are in a profession, don't quite want to be in the same profession with their parents, but what is it about racing the dragsters that really spoke to you?
It was just what our dad did, and, you know, I just always wanted to do what he did. We also did cheerleading growing up. We're also really involved in 4-H, so we were really busy with other activities outside of racing, and absolutely loved him. I did cheer in 4-H all through elementary school to high school. My sister also joined the softball team when she was in high school. So if we weren't busy racing or busy working out in the race shop, we're active doing something else. So I think it really just made us very well-rounded, and we were gone a lot traveling for racing. So by being in cheerleading and 4-H, we were able to still kind of fit in with the other kids at our school.
That's awesome. And what a wide range of interest and activities.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So especially with as busy as I'm sure your family was, for your parents to support you guys doing 4-H and cheer and all that kind of stuff. That's awesome.
Yes, definitely.
So, yeah, it doesn't sound like you guys spent very many weekends at home.
Nope, and we still don't. I figured last year I was only home for about 6 months of the year between traveling to races.
Oh, my gosh. And I suppose with that kind of schedule, do you keep any pets at the house, or is it just like, you know, at some point maybe, but right now not so much?
Yeah, well, growing up, we've always had cats just because they were the easiest to take care of. Just give them a litter box and automatic food and water, and they'll be set for the week. So we had a lot of cats growing up. I always wanted a horse growing up. We had enough land that was fenced off to where we could, but it was one of those things where we would never be able to take care of one. So that never happened. But yeah, right now I have a cat and a dog, and I live with my boyfriend, so he gets to be the one to clean the litter box while I'm gone.
That's not a bad deal, I think, you got there. that's pretty good. Now, when you first started racing, how does that kind of work for the people who listen to us who might not know exactly how you kind of advance through in the drag strip racing?
Yeah, so it all starts out with the junior drag strip program, and it's not mandatory, but that's just the easiest way and cheapest way to get started racing. So when I got started, the youngest age was 8 years old. They have moved it now to 5 years old. So they have different age groups, and for each age group, they have a limit for how fast you can go. And with the junior dragsters, they only go to 1/8 of a mile, so half the distance of what we run now. It's anywhere from 30 miles per hour to 80 miles per hour in 1/8 of a mile. So the age groups, it's, I believe, 5 to 6 years old are together, 7 to 9 years old, 10 to 12, and then 13 to 18. So as soon as you're 18, you are done with the class. You're not allowed to go back. And so the next step up would be to get into one of the sportsman classes. So I started out with a super comp dragster, and I got that when I was 16. So I actually raced two completely different dragsters for 2 years, from 16 to 18. And it was so much fun because I could race the same weekend in both cars. Go down the track, my junior dragster, then my dad or someone would take the super comp car up to the staging lanes and run back, grab my helmet, go run to the staging lanes, hop in and strap in and go down the track. So it was a lot of fun. I did really good with the junior dragster, but I struggled a lot with super comp just because of the throttle stop and delay box. We had no idea what to do because my dad never did bracket racing or with a super comp car when he got started racing. So it took us a long time to figure it out. And I raced super comp for 6 years. I actually never won a race with it. I got runner up a few times, but just never was able to get all the way to the win. And then so that was when I graduated from high school. I was 18, stopped racing juniors, and then went to super comp full time. And the college that my sister and I attended, there's actually a small drag strip about 15, 20 minutes away from our campus. So we were able to take our super comp cars with us to school. we had a friend that had a gated lot, so we could keep our truck and trailer there during the week. And then on the weekends, just go out to the track and have fun.
That's really cool.
Yeah. My sister, she actually stayed down there. So she still races there all the time. She kept her super comp dragster. And we sold mine because I hadn't touched it for a couple of years once I moved up to top alcohol. So she still goes there, and she won her first race 2 years ago. And so it's just a lot of fun to be able to just go for one day and just race. And there's not much maintenance on the car. It's just fill up the fuel, charge the battery, check tire pressure. That's about all you got to do with the super comp. So that's a lot of fun. And I do miss it at times, but to be able to go to an HRA national event or a regional race and to be able to race on one of the top levels of the Sportsman Series is a lot of fun. And to be able to just have the media there, the fans and everything, it's just a whole nother level of excitement.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's quite the ladder series to get up through the system, which is, I think that's always a good thing. So awesome. Now you mentioned just prior that while in college, you also were out there racing your cars. So did you end up with a college degree? What'd you get?
Yes, I studied graphic design, and then my sister studied mechanical engineering.
Dang. None of those are easy, too. So, yeah. Both of those are very hard.
Yeah, it's just what kind of matches our personalities growing up. Mm-hmm. I was always doing these sponsor communications, press releases, started social media when that came out. And so I was just always in the marketing, communication, design area of our race team. And then she loves working on the car. So she loves getting dirty. She actually hates it when you tell her she's got grease on her face because she's very proud to wear it. So yeah, it just kind of fits our personalities and what we love. And so after I graduated college, I moved back home. Mm-hmm. I lived with my parents for a couple of years, and that's when I really got started in the top alcohol class and was racing a full series. And so with that, I've just been working at my parents' company part-time. Mm-hmm. And then I also started a freelance business part-time to help out other racers with websites and hero cards, social media, and things like that. And then my sister, she did not come back home. She took a different path. So like I said, she stayed down there where we went to school at. So she got a job offer at a very big international engineering firm. So she took the offer and she works in their automotive department designing pieces that build car seats like Teslas and Fords and all that she's been able to work on. So she's got a really great job. And because she's working full time, she can't come and race full time with us. So she does about 6 or 8 races a year in the Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series. And then she's, like I said, she still bracket races every weekend that she can.
That's awesome.
Very cool. Yeah. And I said, it definitely sounds like you both pick degrees that fit your personalities.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, especially since you had already been, like you said, working with press releases and things like that growing up. So yeah, it seems like graphic design was kind of a perfect fit for you.
Now you and your sister, so you both race on the same team. How, and it's the team that your father runs, right?
Yes.
How is that? How is it working with family?
Well, we are very competitive. It's very dramatic when we are at the same race together, especially when we have to run each other, which happened twice last year.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I won both times just by a hair, and she was so mad she didn't want to talk to me for a couple of days.
Oh. I get that.
Yeah, see, Molly and I both have siblings, and yeah, it would be
uh-huh.
We would be way more competitive with our siblings than with anybody else.
Yeah.
Yes.
Be like, exactly. I can lose to everybody else here. I just have to beat you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the race team, so your sister's racing and you're racing. That's kind of a big deal to have a bunch of ladies racing. How is that? Are there more women in the team? Is that correct?
Yes, we have Julie Natus, who is originally from Norway, now lives in California. She also just graduated from college the end of last year with a degree in marketing and entrepreneurship. So she joined our team 3 years ago and has just been racing part-time while she's still in school. So this year will be her first full season. And so me and her will be racing together at almost every single race that we go to. And we only have 2 cars on our team. Okay. So with that, we can only have 2 drivers at a time. So we're always sharing seats. So I do the most races. So I kind of have my primary car. Rachel and Julie will split the car that they drive. And then we'll have a few other people that will come in and just rent out the seat for 1 or 2 races a year. Just kind of people that we've known for a long time that have been a part of our team before. So we trust.
Megan?
Able to kind of teach them how to drive, what to do, and all that. So we'll bring in guys or girls a couple times a year, just whatever's in their region close to their home, or just if there's a certain race that's special to them and the seat's open, we'll let them come in and race for 1 or 2 a year, like I said. And then we also have another female driver who is in training this year. She's moving up from the top dragster ranks. So it's almost very similar to speed. Mm-hmm. She's already been over 200 miles per hour, so okay. It should be an easy transition for her to go from top dragster to top alcohol dragster.
Oh, cool. So really, kind of looking at this team, primarily you guys, except, you know, when people who might kind of come in and take a one-off ride, you're an all-female team.
Yes, and we never really planned it that way.
Sure.
But I think my dad has a soft spot for girls since he has two daughters.
Yeah, I kind of think that's what happens.
Yeah.
When dads have girls, they get a little soft on them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds like it's going to be real exciting moving into 2019. Do you have, you know, some people kind of put out, like, this is my goal for this year. I want to, like, win X amount of races or win specific races. Do you have anything like that for the upcoming season?
Yeah. So my goal is to do the same or better than what I did this year or last year. Last year I won 5 races out of 17. So next year is to just do at least one better than that. And if I win another national event, it will put me as the winningest female for the top alcohol dragster class. So that's something that I really want to achieve. Julie's goal, she's been to 6 final rounds and has never won a race. Mm. So her goal is to just at least get that first win out of the way. She did finish 9th in points in the national series for 2018, and she only competed in 10 to 12 races. So she went a lot of rounds and gained a lot of points, but just never ended up with the trophy at the end of the day. And then for Rachel, she only did 2 national events, so she didn't place very well in the points series, but mm-hmm. she did a lot of regional events with me. So she ended up 3rd for the regional series. So she had this whole plan set out of how she was going to bump me out of first place and she was going to win the region, but it didn't happen. So her plan is just to do a little bit better than I do.
You know, I get that. It's kind of like a teammate goal. You're like, all right, I love you. We're teammates, but I want to do better.
Yeah.
And I suppose sort of the end game for you is to continue to advance within the sport until you're, you know, running with the full NHRA drag team. Is that kind of what you're thinking about?
For me personally, no. I love where I'm at in the top alcohol class. A lot of the guys that I get to race against have known me ever since I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Racing against my dad. So I love racing against them. It's just all a big family. There's really no, not much drama in our pits.
Sure.
Just besides me and my sister. But
had siblings.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm really comfortable where I'm at. For Julie, though, her goal is to go top fuel. Her dad has raced top fuel in the past in the United States and over in Europe. So she would love to get on the level that he was at. And so she's working to gain the right contacts of what team she wants to join in the top fuel ranks. And then also looking for sponsorships. But along the way, we're helping her, giving her as much seat time as possible. So that way she is ready when she does step up.
Excellent.
Very cool.
Yeah, that sounds really nice. Well, I'm going to ask, besides your dad, do you have any racers that you look up to or any idols that you kind of want to shape yourself after as you continue in the sport?
Yeah, really my first one driver that I connected with on a personal level was Diana Harker, and she doesn't race anymore, but she raced on our team in 2007 and 2008, and she was really the first female driver that we had for the top alcohol car. And she has a twin sister, Kate, and they're originally from Australia. Their dad races top alcohol funny car, and he came over to the United States, and we became really good friends with Steve. So he introduced us to his daughters and we connected with them. So they were about my age when they got started in the top alcohol class. And Kate studied marketing and Diana studied graphic design and photography. So I really got to learn about that side of racing from them when I was I don't know how old I was, probably 13, 14 around then. So that kind of really shaped my future for where I'm at now, is seeing what they did, mm-hmm. websites they created, advertisements, stuff like that. And then after that, it was Ashley Force when she was racing the top alcohol class. We've been around the Forces for forever. So I know Brittany, Courtney, and Ashley, and all of them. So whenever Ashley was in the alcohol ranks, and she was in it for a couple of years, it was when she was sponsored by Barbie, and my sister and I were still playing with Barbies at that time. So she gave us a few dolls, and we could come in her motorhome and hang out and watch movies with her and all that. So it was really cool just to get on that personal level with her, and then mm-hmm. to watch her move up to the top fuel ranks and then transition into motherhood and then taking over the media and production side of the Force racing.
Those sound like really cool people to model yourself after. That's very good.
Yeah, and NHRA is great in the fact that there's just so much more diversity there than there is in any other mm-hmm. area of motorsports. So it's a little easier to find really cool female role models.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that drag racing isn't an intense physical sport to be able to drive and handle the cars. You're going straight only for a couple of seconds. So as long as you got good hand-eye and good foot coordination, you'll be fine. And if you can handle the G-forces, then it's an easy ride. Whereas if you look at like motocross or sprint cars, IndyCar, stuff like that, it's very physical to be able to drive those cars. So I think that's just why drag racing has a lot more females.
Yeah, I can see that. It kind of seems like something as a female you would feel more comfortable stepping into first. I can see that, yeah. Well, looking back at your career, and this is always a hard question for people to answer, so if you have to choose, like, maybe two or three, you can. What would you think your best moment has been so far?
I'd say last year I had a lot of fun with the regional races. My favorite race so far, it was in Tulsa in June last year, and it was the final round, and it was me against my sister, and it was the first time that we had ran against each other in the alcohol cars, and it was just a lot of fun because everyone on our team was just so happy that we got both cars into the final round, so we were automatically going to get first and second place, and I believe we also qualified number one and two, so we just had the best weekend ever, and I played a little mind games with her on the starting line, just doing whatever I can to mess her up, which is also something I would do if I was racing anybody else. So sure. I deep staged really a lot. I almost took out that top bulb, and then I got her on a hole shot with the win. And it's so funny because after the race, I told everyone what I did, and Rachel's like, well, you didn't tell me you're gonna do that. Oh. Like, no, of course not.
No, I don't think so, sister.
And then my second favorite race from last year, it was the one that really clinched us getting the championship. Mm-hmm. Me and another guy in our class, Dean, we were just chasing points all year long, going back between first and second, and it was the second to last regional race. We were in Western Kansas. It was freezing cold, very windy. It was just weird weather because I believe it was the end of October, so it still should have been warm out, but it wasn't at all that weekend. And I believe that we only got one qualifying session for the whole race because of the way the weather was.
Oh, wow.
So, again, made it to the final round. I actually had to take out Rachel first round. Made it to the final round, and I had to race Dean. And so whoever won the race, it was going to kind of clinch the championship. So we kind of hopped it up a little bit, but did it too much because as soon as I left the starting line, it just smoked the tires. And he was out in about half track because he has a blower car. So about half track, his blower belt broke. So he was he was out of power.
Yeah.
So, and I was just coasting down the track because we had smoked the tires, and usually if that happens, you can't recover it. So I lifted off the gas and I was just coasting. I saw that he had trouble. I didn't actually see the belt come off or break, but mm-hmm. I just saw him slow down. So I slammed back on the gas and I was kind of scooting down the track because it didn't hook up quite all the way for traction. But I did whatever I needed to and got around him just about, I don't know, I'd say about a car length mm-hmm. ahead of him when I crossed the finish line. So it was a race that we thought we lost the round, but then we got a second chance and then ended up getting the championship because of that. So that was a really fun race. And that was also my 10th win for Top Alcohol Class.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, it sounds like one of those races where everything goes wrong, but suddenly goes right at the end, and you're just like,
yeah.
I don't know what happened, but we got to win, and let's just take it.
Yeah, I'll take it, yep.
That's a great story.
That's a fantastic story. I like that. Do you have any, like, pre-race rituals that you like to do before you get ready and get in the car?
I really don't. I think just because I have so much seat time with 15 years of driving, I can just kind of be in the middle of doing something and hop in the car and do what I need to do. So there's really not much I need to do to really calm my nerves. I like the adrenaline rush between rounds when we have less than an hour to make a run, get back to the trailer. But first stop at the weigh station and the fuel check station, go back mm-hmm. to the trailer, change whatever we need to change on the car, head back up to the staging lanes, go make another pass. So I really thrive on that energy between my guys because really we know exactly what we need to do, no questions asked, mm-hmm. No matter what happens, whatever part it hurts. So, and then I can also jump in there and help out with whatever they need. I usually will change the oil, take care of the fuel, download the race pack data, pack the parachutes, change tires if we need to, and change spark plugs if they need my help. So I just like working with my guys. I don't really do the whole intense stuff of like changing a block or having to change a head. Yeah. I'll let them handle all that. But I can kind of just kind of be all over the place and then just hop in. But once I'm in the car, I can calm down. And then my main crew chief, his name is Adrian. He knows what to say to me to kind of calm me down if I'm getting real nervous about a race, if I'm racing someone who's ahead of me in points or has done better than us for the whole weekend. He kind of knows how to calm me down if my nerves are getting to me.
Sure. That's a good skill to have, I think, for a crew chief.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I'm not surprised that you like the adrenaline rush just with the type of car you race. Not surprised by that at all.
Yeah, and it can get really boring if you have to wait 3 or 4 hours make passes sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I can see that happening. Yeah. Yeah, what would you do then? Do you just kind of, I guess you kind of go back to the team staging area and just, I guess, wait? Or do you like to watch the other passes?
I really don't get the chance to watch. I really only watch the other classes running if I'm not driving for that weekend.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll just hang out in the pits. Because we can usually get all the work done on the cars that we need to get done in an hour, maybe 2 hours if we have to do some major changes. Mm-hmm. But so for us to wait around for a couple hours before we make a pass, it can get pretty boring. Usually just end up watching TV, maybe take a nap, just trying to talk to fans or talk to the other racers out there.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Sounds good.
So yeah, it reminds me of Ma and I both were competitive swimmers in high school, and we'd have weekend long swim meets where, you know, you'd have maybe your heat, you'd have a heat that was, you know, at the beginning of the day on Saturday, and then you wouldn't have anything until like 4 o'clock in the afternoon Saturday, and so you just kind of fill your time with whatever, napping or
books,
screwing around with your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And invariably there was always one race that it was like you didn't realize it was your heat until everybody else was lining up and you're like, oh, I have to go right now.
Yep. Whoop.
Sorry. I've done nothing for 4 hours and somehow I'm late.
I would imagine that probably doesn't happen as much in like the...
No, probably not in the
Dragster racing.
Driving world. Yeah, no.
No, not as much there.
Probably don't, yeah. Don't miss their heats quite as much. But but yes, the just kind of sitting around and finding something to fill your time with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you kind of talked about you've got your degree in graphic design and you do a lot of work with teams, I guess, when you're not racing. Is that something you really enjoy doing as well, or?
It is, and it's grown a little bit every year. It just started out with Dassoon Hero Cards, and then from there went on to started doing website work, and then helping design merchandise and all that stuff. So each year it just grows a little bit more. I don't really have a portfolio or really anything online that showcases what I've done, but basically anyone in the alcohol pits knows that I can help them out with that type of stuff. So they'll just come to me if they need some new hero cards or whatever. And then this year, something that I've been kind of doing behind the scenes is coming up with basically a template for racers to use to build a marketing deck to take to sponsors. Oh, cool. Because I get a lot of questions from other racers about how to get sponsorships, tips and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's just what I learned over the years, but I've also done a lot of intense research about what sponsors are looking for, the type of content that they want. It's not just about putting a logo on the side of your car and then someone seeing it going down the track, really focusing on the numbers. So how much exposure do you actually get on social media? How many calling up a track and figuring out actually how many ticket sales they made, how many people attended the race, what percentage of those people were sitting in the stands? And then what percentage of those people do you think walked by your trailer and actually stopped to talk to you or watch your guys work on the car and they would see a sponsor on the car or on the t-shirt or hat or whatever. So I've been reading a lot of books, doing a lot of research on the internet to kind of figure out this stuff. And it's something that I want to do to be able to give back to racers, but also just to be able to take our sport and just the whole motorsport industry to the next level and improve the quality of proposals and decks that we are sending out to sponsors. Because I've seen a few other decks that other people have done over the years, and it's kind of the same template, but it just has really bad information in it and really nothing specific that is drawing attention. So they just automatically get a no or get an excuse from the sponsor of why they wouldn't want to sponsor them. So really trying to come up with this whole method of how to get the first impression of them, how to kind of get a phone call to go over what they need, then to create a marketing deck, go from the deck to a proposal, to a contract, to get the sponsorship.
That's very cool.
Very interesting, yeah. And all the different variables that you're using to kind of quantify those results so that, you know, because there is so much in it with the sponsorship in motorsports that it's like, how can you guarantee that, you know, somebody saw this or that this brand is, you know, recognized, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, that's very cool. And well, I think that definitely will be a big positive for the motorsports world.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'm saying there's issues with sponsors everywhere in the motorsports world. So yeah, having something that would, you know, kind of quantify the reward a little bit better would be very cool.
Yeah. Speak the language of the business people. Yeah. Really? Yeah. That is really amazing. That's I can't wait for this to like materialize. I think this is going to be a great thing for you. Yeah. I'm here for that.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Definitely, definitely.
Well, let's see. Is there anything coming up this year that you're really excited about? Is there, say, one particular race that you say you like more than the others, or a venue that you really enjoy? Or
I do love going to the Charlotte track. we race there twice a year, once in the spring and once in the fall. Yeah. And it's really special to me because that's where I got my first win with the Top Outcall Dragster in 2016. And last year I was able to win both spring and fall races. Wow. And so it was really exciting for us. And then my title sponsor, NGK Spark Plugs, was the sponsor for the whole event in the spring. So it was the very first time that NGK has actually sponsored a car and sponsored an event. So they brought out all their customers, team members, corporate people, came out to the racetrack, and they got a suite. So I'd go up to the suite and hang out with them and kind of explain to them racing. And then they'd go to watch me fly down the track, and then it was really cool that we got to celebrate together in Winter Circle and go out to dinner that night with them. So I'm really excited to return to Charlotte and to see everyone from NGK again.
Yeah.
And to hopefully just keep winning there. It's one of the best facilities that we go to. And it's actually a 4-wide track, but we only race 2-wide, just normal 2-wide racing there. Yeah. So we always have really great conditions just because it's the perfect time of the year to race there in those seasons. So everything always is just, you know, the perfect setup for us to kind of take what we have and maximize it and get the win.
Well, it feels like that's a very lucky track for you. Like, I'm like, that's a track you should... Can we race here again, though? Like, let's go back to Charlotte.
Well, and it's funny, too, because whenever my dad raced there, he never really had much success. He never won there. So, and then all of a sudden, I started driving, and we just started going around. So I don't know if it's just because he was too distracted when he was driving and tuning at the same time or what, but it's my favorite track and I love it there. So I'm excited to go back, and we'll actually be doing a lot of really cool stuff with NGK there. I can't really give any details right now, but just have everyone stay tuned in April for what's to come from our team with NGK.
Oh, awesome. Excellent. Ooh, I like a good tease like that.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Uh-oh.
I'm very excited.
Oh, well, then that actually is a great, before we forget, so everybody listening can keep an eye out, where can everybody find you on social media?
My biggest ones is Instagram and Facebook, which is at MeganMeyer.racing. That's also my website. You can do MeganMeyer.racing or MeganMeyerRacing.com. We are on Twitter as Meyer Sisters and on YouTube as Randy Meyer Racing Team.
Oh, that's awesome.
Excellent.
Cool. Well, everybody should definitely keep an eye on it because it sounds like in April something's about to happen.
Yes.
we'll keep an eye on that too. That's exciting.
That is exciting. That is. What is your favorite race that you have ever been to in your whole life as a driver or spectator? Or is there like a bucket list race that you want to drive in or that you want to go to and see in person?
I'd say to drive at would be Charlotte, just because, like I said, we always get really great conditions. And just to be able to get the chance to watch the other classes race 4-wide whenever we're done for the day and we can go and watch other people race. That's really cool. There are a couple other races on the NHRA schedule that we don't get to go to just because they limit us to only be able to race at 16 national events and NHRA goes to 24. So, and then from there, we can only pick 10 out of those 16 to race at to count for points. So, they're like, in Tennessee, I believe it's Tennessee. I haven't even been there, so I don't even know, but, there's a race there that's, we can't go to, so I've never been, but, it's one of the most beautiful places I've seen. It's just kind of in a valley and a mountain, and, I love mountains and being outdoors, so I would love to be able to go to that race. Oh, Bristol, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So, I'd love to go and go, just be a spectator there sometime, but with my schedule right now, I just don't have the time to.
Sure. Oh, that does sound really pretty.
It does.
Yeah. A racetrack right in the middle of a valley. Yeah, I'd be here for that.
Right?
Definitely.
Kind of like Road America. It's like right in the middle.
Just right in the middle. Now, with the with the graphic design and everything, do you, are you, you know, like artistic? Are you able to draw or paint or do any of that very, darn it. I was really open. I was like, I don't have that skill and I'm enthralled by people who can handle that.
No, I'm actually really bad at drawing and painting. I just don't have the patience to do all the detail, but I'm really good on the computer.
Well, all right. That's a skill in of itself. That's a very good skill. So cool. So you can do like the logos and stuff with, I'm guessing, like a program. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I use Adobe for all of my design work and I just dabble in a little bit of everything. I wouldn't say I'm an expert in graphic design, but I mainly focus on page layout just because I really like the structure of stuff and that goes along with hero cards and websites, which is what I mainly do. I do a little bit of videography and editing videos. Like I do almost all of our YouTube videos, and a lot of it's just a GoPro that I put on the car and then make a video the whole weekend. And then just a little bit of photo editing and stuff like that.
Awesome. Very cool. That's all really good skills to have in the racing world, I think. That makes you very marketable, I think, is the key term.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Makes you very marketable.
Yeah, and I learned a lot of those skills when I was at school. The the program that I went through in the graphic design program at our school, which is Pitt State in Southeast Kansas, I believe it's the best one in the country. When I first went there, I signed up for marketing and communications. I really didn't know anything about graphic design, but I knew a little bit about how to code a website because I had done that for us and just for personal stuff back when MySpace was a thing. But
sorry, when we all laugh about that, because that's how we all started to code, was in MySpace.
Yeah. I still...
Yeah, I knew a little bit of how HTML and CSS worked, but when I was going through the marketing and communication department, I didn't love it, and I actually fell out of love with writing press releases and all that stuff, so I switched over to graphic design full-time. I started out in the website design department of the graphic design program, but then I switched to print and management for graphic design, so I really got to learn about a little bit everything from digital input and output to printing input and output to videos and photos and all that stuff. So they have a lot of different printers and technology there, so they kind of work backwards. They start out with how to properly output a file to be able to print it correctly, and then work backwards from there. So where what type of files you need to build, like image files you need to build this PDF or whatever that you want to print and make it into a folder, things like that. So I knew nothing about printing, but I learned a lot there. I also did a printing internship, so that really made me fall in love with the whole graphic design process, and then to be able to come up with like a unique trifold brochure that had other pages that folded out and make that into our sponsor proposal. That was my homework assignment, but then I could also use it to give to sponsors.
Yeah. Oh, that's real nice. That's a two birds, one stone type of deal there.
That's really cool. And I told all the teachers that I raced and I was using this to help out my racing career. So they were able to help me after hours, and I'd go in their office for a couple hours at night and eat dinner with them and work on stuff for racing. So they really helped me get to where I am.
That's really excellent. That sounds like a really good college that the professors and everybody would be like, yeah, that's great. Like, let's help you out here then. That's super cool.
Yeah.
That is.
Wow.
That is. Well, excellent. Well, anything you want to, add on as far as racing or about you, anything else exciting coming up that we should look out for other than the big NGK announcement in April?
That we'll wait for quietly.
Yeah. I don't think so. We'll start in 2 weeks. The team's going to head out to Phoenix to start testing and then be at Pomona for the first race of the year with Julie. And then my first race is the beginning of March. I'll start in Louisiana and then head to Florida for a couple weeks to race down there. So, yeah, time is flying by fast. This off season went by like crazy.
Yeah, you guys have a pretty short off season.
We do. We're pretty much done the week before Thanksgiving and then start back up Super Bowl weekend.
Wow. That is a short off season.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Which, speaking of, do you have a preference on who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Well, I was hoping the Chiefs, but that didn't work out last night.
Yeah, I don't think you...
Well, everybody in Indiana was hoping that it just wasn't going to be the Patriots.
Yeah, we also didn't work out for us last night either, so...
Yeah, I'm actually not a big sports fan. I've actually never been to a Chiefs game, so I just watch them on TV.
Yeah.
It's easier, but just because we're gone so much, I usually miss all that stuff. But it's been really cool just to see how the Chiefs have done this year.
Yeah,
cool. All right, well. Yeah,
they have had a good season.
It wasn't a bad season.
Yeah, no, they had a good season. I say it was a... It's a hard end of that game. So yeah, we definitely follow racing more than other sports, but we do like to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you gotta at least see what's going on out there.
Yeah, stay aware. So, all right, well, excellent. Well, is there anything?
We always like to give the guests the last word. So, what would you like the people to remember last?
I guess just stay tuned for that announcement. Like I said, we don't have it finalized, sure. So I can't really give any details, but we're going to try to make it as big as we can. So I'm really excited to see what it ends up being.
Excellent.
I am too now.
Yeah, we are very excited. That'll be great.
Yeah.
That'll be great. Excellent. Well, do you have anything exciting in your last couple weeks of off season?
Actually, no. I've been hunting, but hunting season ended the first of the year, so now it's just been getting back into race mode.
Gotcha. Yeah. What do you? What's your preferred game?
Whitetail.
Yeah.
Okay. And I bow hunt only. I don't use
a
gun.
Oh, very impressive.
Very.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay, that's very badass.
Yeah, it is.
Let's just call it. That's badass.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, it is much harder to aim and use a bow and arrow than people assume it is if they've never tried to.
Yeah.
Yes.
The first time I held a bow and arrow, I was like, this is so much harder than it looks.
Please take this away from me.
So. Yeah, we practice all year. I try to do it at least once a week. Just whenever I'm home, I can do it in my backyard or go to my parents' house or just go to the lake where they have the archery range set up with targets at different yards. So I love it. It just kind of, it calms me down just to focus and get that clear mind. And I can also translate that into driving.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, especially with the bow hunting, just because, you know, your body's got to be so streamlined and relaxed and controlled for you to have a good shot.
Hmm.
So that is very cool.
Yeah.
I would not have expected that. So
awesome.
Well, glad you got out last week. Before the season was over. So yeah,
definitely.
So yeah. All right. Well, Megan, thank you again for talking to us. We really appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be on.
Yeah.
So, well, excellent. We'll be looking forward to the announcement in April and
cheering from our computer screens.
We will. We will. So, well, you enjoy the venison.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.